You're listening to sermon audio from Christchurch Hawthorne in Melbourne. We hope and pray this helps you grow in your knowledge and love of God and enables you to see how great God is.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1-14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you have learnt it from Epaphras, a beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Well, thanks so much, Andrew. It's great to be with you. I'm really pleased that I'm here, because I often get lost when I'm going to events like this. I'm usually late, lost, and running out of petrol. And actually, I just thought the last conference I spoke at was in England, and I was staying with friends about an hour away, and I got there directly and on time. On the way home, I got lost 5 times. One of those getting lost was taking a wrong freeway, which is quite a big thing to do, because I found myself heading towards the north of England by mistake. And I did pass one dead pigeon on the road 3 times. Yeah. So I'm pleased to be here, and I'm pleased that you're here as well. Well, let's head into Colossians chapter 1, and as Andrew said, the outlines are in the books if you'd like to follow those as well. Well, I can remember, I've still got my school case from when I first went to school. We used to have a little sort of case thing, and I've still got mine, and it has my name and address inside. And when I put my name and address, I just discovered where I lived. So it has P. Adam, 5 Power Street, Kooyong, Australia, the world, the universe. Got bigger and bigger. I knew where I belonged, you see. Good to know your address in case you get lost. I live in the universe. That's a great start. It narrows it down, begins to narrow it down. Well, Paul addresses the Christians at Colossae this way: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. And I want you to think about, just for a moment, about the very careful phrasing of that: in Christ at Colossae. Wherever you live in the world, wherever you are in the universe, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in Christ. Though you may be at Mars or Venus or San Francisco or the Amazon rainforest, or you might even be at Hawthorne. Where are you really? The answer is that you are like the believers at Colossae in Christ. So Paul has placed his readers where they really are in Christ, though at the moment they live at Colossae. He also identifies them as authentic believers, or more accurately, as a real church. For Paul, the sign of real Christianity is three things mixed up together. We find them in verses 3 and 4. Faith in Christ Jesus, love for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. I want you to remember faith, love, and hope. And if you know Paul's writings well, you'll know that Paul often talks about faith and love and hope. And if Paul's trying to work out if you're still alive or not as a believer, if you're still functioning as a church, this is what he'd look for: faith, love, and hope. Now, I'm going for my annual medical checkup in a few weeks' time, and I hope that my GP will assure herself that I'm still alive. That'd be a great start. There's not a lot of point in diagnosing for a dead patient, you know. Take these pills, you'll feel better in a week. It won't work if you're dead, will it? Well, how does Paul know these Christians are alive as believers? The answer is they have faith in Jesus Christ. They love their fellow believers, and they have hope of Christ's return. Now, I think Christians tend to specialise in one or other of those three, don't we? Some Christians are really hyped up about believing in the Lord Jesus, which is wonderful. Some are really excited about loving fellow believers, which is good as long as they're people who are lovable. Do you know the little poem? To live above with the saints we love will all be bliss and glory. To live below with the saints we know is quite a different story. Anyway, some people get excited about love, and some Christians used to be excited about the hope of Christ's return. But what we separate, Paul puts together so beautifully, doesn't he? We've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. I hope that's true of you and of your church. We've heard of the love you have for all the saints. Now, I think that's actually not just the saints they know, the saints in their church, their fellow believers, but they actually have a general love for Christians around the world. I hope that's true of you. And interestingly, here in this particular example, they have faith and love because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, that is, the hope of Christ's return. So you might like to ask yourself the question, take your pulse, how is my faith going? How is my love going? How is my hope going? And do people become people of faith in Christ Jesus and love for all the saints? And how do they develop a hope laid up for you in heaven? Well, there is one answer in verses 5 following. Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, which then Paul describes as the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed it, to the whole world it's bearing fruit and growing, is also does among you since the day you first heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. So you become a believer, you create a church, you plant a church by the gospel coming, the word of truth, the grace of God in truth, as Paul describes it, which then bears fruit and grows, and people hear it. Now, Paul didn't plant this church. Paul didn't go there. He'd never been to Colossae. The church was founded or planted by Epaphras, as Paul says in verse 7, you learnt it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he's made known to us your love in the Spirit. Paul is actually in prison in Rome at this time. It's about 60 or 61 AD. And Epaphras has come all the way from Colossae to visit Paul to encourage him while he's in prison for being a preacher of the gospel. And Epaphras is the one who planted the church, and Epaphras has come on behalf of the church to encourage Paul. And so Paul's heard from Epaphras how the church was planted and how it is grown. And we'll meet Epaphras later on and discover that he's, although he's a long way away from Colossae, he's still praying hard for them. Now, God gave you two ears for a purpose. And here's the purpose. I'm making this up, but it sounds good. I want you to listen to these Bible studies with one ear for yourself and with the other ear for other people. Because, you see, often I find when I hear a sermon, I think to myself, well, I don't actually need to know that. Or I already know that. Or, oh, that's really interesting. And then during the week I get an opportunity to explain what I've heard on Sunday to somebody else. So what I'm saying to you over these couple of days, I'm saying for you, for your benefit, to encourage you, I hope, and strengthen you, to cheer you up and make you a stronger believer. But I'm also saying it to you so you can say it to somebody else. Or more accurately, God is giving you these words for your benefit and also for the benefit of somebody else. So please listen for their benefit as well. And you might think I don't need to know this bit of the Bible, but you'll meet somebody in the next 2 weeks who does need to know it. And God's telling you this weekend so that you can tell somebody else in a couple of weeks' time. So, the letter is written to those who are in Christ at Colossae. They're people of faith in Christ Jesus, love for the saints, and they have hope of what's laid up for them in heaven. And they are believers because the word of truth, the gospel, the grace of God in truth has come to them, and they have heard it. I wasn't brought up in a Christian family. My parents, my dad was a lapsed, beached Baptist, I guess you'd say. And my mother was sort of lapsed Roman Catholic Anglican, and we went to church once a year or twice a year. In my last year of primary school, there was a teacher whom I didn't like. The word of insult we used in those days was pill. He was a real pill. This was adventurous language at my school. And he wasn't a Christian, but his father had been a Christian. And when he talked about his father and his father's values, I thought to myself, whatever his father had, I want. So I went home from school and said to my parents, I want to go to church. So there was a slight embarrassment because Sunday morning was for sleeping in, not going to church. But my father very kindly agreed to take me to church, which he did for about 6 months, and then I just kept going myself. And it took about 4 years, I think, for the word of truth, the gospel, the grace of God in truth to come home to my mind. I suppose I heard it a few times, but it actually took somebody to sit down with me and explain it one-to-one from a Bible and tell me what I needed to do about it. And I can still remember the day when that happened, the place that it happened, and the person who did it for me. And that day I became a person, well, it's the start of the process of faith in Christ Jesus and love for all the saints and hope of Christ's return. So I went home and I said to my parents, I've just become a real Christian. My father said, you'll grow out of it. Don't worry. Well, he's dead and I'm still a believer. That's extraordinary, isn't it? I hope that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. I hope that you are know that you're in Christ wherever you live. And I hope you're someone of faith and love and hope. Now, Paul doesn't know these people. He's heard about them from Epaphras, who's kindly come to visit him in prison. What does he pray for them? First of all, notice in verse 3, we always thank God for you. That's a great start, isn't it? We always thank God for you when we pray for you. And that, I think, is a great way to start our prayers for people as well. Thank God for them and then pray for them. Well, what does he pray? Verse 9, so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. And what's he praying? First of all, for knowledge, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit, as the gospel bears fruit, in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I sometimes speak at conferences with preachers, ministers, and I usually, during the conference, will ask the ministers, how long is it since you've learned something new from the Bible? Is it a month or 2 months or 3 months? And then I ask them, and how did you change the way you live because of this new thing you learned from the Bible? And over the coffee, sometimes people say, well, I haven't actually learned anything new for about 10 years now, and I haven't changed the way I live from the Bible for even longer. So I say, well, you're a real hypocrite, aren't you? Because you keep on telling other people they should change from what they hear in the Bible. They should be learners and changers. You should do the same. See, we can make the mistake in our age, I think, of thinking, well, once you know the gospel, you don't need to know anything else. But to live that way is to like going to school and spend your time in the playground, not actually in class learning. For what Paul is praying for is an ever-increasing knowledge of the will of God, that is, the whole plan of God, the whole purpose of God, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, and that will need all spiritual wisdom and understanding, verse 9. So there's a good prayer for you to pray for yourself, good prayer for us to pray for ourselves over this weekend. Dear Heavenly Father, please fill us with knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because I think it takes lots of wisdom and understanding to do verse 10, so as to walk in a manner or live in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Lifelong learning is the key for the Christian. Lifelong learning about the will of God, knowledge of God's will, that is, the whole saving plan of God, the whole purpose of God, the whole revelation of God, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, people often ask me the question, well, what's the minimum someone needs to know to be a Christian? Or, you know, what's the minimum you need to know in order to serve God? And I say, what a funny question to ask. Why not ask the question, what's the maximum that God's revealed? What's the fullness that God wants us to know? Not, what can I get away with? Imagine thinking about a marriage, you know. Well, what's the minimum I need to contribute to a marriage to stay married? I mean, what a hopeless question that is. Or you know, what's the minimum I need to learn to be a brain surgeon? What a silly question that is. No, the question is, what is there that we can learn? What has God revealed? Let's learn it. Let's receive it. That's what Paul wants to happen there at Colossae. That's what he's praying for, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, you know, so that you can increase in knowing God. And this prayer for knowledge is also a prayer for power. Please notice what the power is. May you be strengthened with all power. That is, with knowledge comes power, the power of God, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. So with knowledge, with knowing God, comes the power of God. That is, the power to live as a Christian. It's God's power which enables us to live a life, to grow, to know God more and more, so that we can please him in every way. And here's Paul's great prayer. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, God's glorious might, and this will result in all endurance and patience with joy. Anyone can begin the Christian life. The question is, will we endure? Anyone can muddle along. The question is, will we muddle along with patience? Anyone can muddle along. The question is, will we muddle along with endurance, patience, and joy? And we'll do that, Paul says in verse 12, as we give thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Why should we give thanks to the Father? Verse 13, he's delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So in a way, they end up where they began, with this gospel, this message of the truth, this God's grace in all its truth. But it's not just that they become believers and never grow, never change. No, Paul is praying fervently for deep knowledge and radical change by the power of God. And this is not to move away from Christ. It is to find our identity in him. We are, verse 2, in Christ, and verse 14, he is the one in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, it's not that we just believe in Christ at a distance. No, when we are believers, we are actually in Christ, made part of Christ. We become part of his body. That is who we are. That's why we live the way we live. I don't know if you saw the article in the newspaper last weekend. It was about the search for happiness, and someone's discovered that actually it's better to search for meaning than happiness. And then if you find meaning in your life, then you're likely to find happiness as well, which is a happy thought. Well, I think the Bible is a great book about the meaning of our lives. And I've explained the meaning of your life now, haven't I? See, I've told you all the most important things about you, haven't I? You're in Christ. That's very important. You're people of faith and love and hope. That's your meaning. And you are this way because the gospel's come to you and it's borne fruit in your life. You've heard it and received it. And what we need to be doing as people who are in Christ is growing in our knowledge of God by the power of God and finding our meaning in being in the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, there are so many treasures in these verses, it's really hard to cope with them. But we thank you that you've packed the scriptures so full of great truths about the Christians at Colossae so long ago. And we thank you that these great truths, these great ideas, these great realities are part of our life because you've put us in Christ, in your Son. You've transferred us into his kingdom. So please help us to see the meaning of our lives and our Christian identity, our life in Christ. And please help us to live as followers of Christ, as believers in Christ. Increase our faith and love and hope. Increase our knowledge by your power. For Jesus' sake, amen.